And those kinds of, that kind of effort and those kinds of changes are well worth making. Cornelius is making those kinds of changes. In Isaiah chapter, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, God says, and I give you this verse to encourage you. God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Okay, God, there's God's promise. God says, if you're serious about getting to know me, if you're serious about seeking me and finding me, you're not going to be disappointed. You will get to know me. I will make myself known to you. Now, maybe at this point, you're not quite sure where that quest is going to take you. Cornelius certainly didn't know where the quest was going to take him. And we read about Abraham, didn't we, earlier in Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham, God said, "I want you to come to the place that I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you my goodness. I'm going to show you my grace. I'm going to show you my mercy. I'm going to pour my blessing into your life. Come to the land that I'll show you." The writer to Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 8, that Abraham got up and went out not knowing where God was going to take him. Now, that's the walk of faith. When you commit yourself to following after God, to getting to know God, not knowing where God is going to take you. And as we mentioned earlier in our service, Paul says in Galatians, those who exercise faith, those who have that kind of faith, they're the ones who are Abraham's children. Remember, we looked at Abraham and we heard God make those promises to him and to his descendants, to his children. We said, who are those heirs? Who are the ones who enjoy those blessings? And then Paul says, it's the ones who exercise faith. They enter into the blessings that God promised to Abraham. Here's Cornelius. Cornelius, maybe a little bit of a situation similar to Abraham. He wants to get to know God, and he's really serious about that quest, and he's ready to shape his life in ways that will help him to get to know God. Now, so be encouraged if you have that sense of desire. And let me encourage you in this way also. The Lord Jesus tells us, John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." In other words, Jesus takes us behind the scenes, and Jesus says, where there's that earnest desire, where that desire to know God, to really know God truly, God himself prompts that desire. God's at work where that desire is awakened. And that's encouraging for us when we have that hunger and thirst after God, when we desire to know God, when we desire to know Jesus. That desire is a desire that God himself gives us. And that encourages us to press on, press on. The writer, the prophet Hosea says, let's press on to know the Lord. Let's make it our business to push forward. And we can do that with the confidence that God draws us to himself. So here's Cornelius. Cornelius is someone who has a desire to know God. He's giving alms. He's worshiping God. He's a devout man. And yes, he meets an angel. Whoa, he really did. He met an angel, verses 3 and 4, and he wasn't dreaming because we're told that he met him at the ninth hour. That was the middle of the afternoon. Cornelius, as a centurion, as an officer, wouldn't have been having a nap in the middle of the afternoon. He was wide awake. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him. That's absolutely amazing. You know, we often think about angels, and we're coming face to face with an angel here, as Luke describes what happened to Cornelius. The angels, we have all kinds of ideas about angels. The writer of the Hebrews tells us that angels are ministering spirits that are sent out for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. Okay, there's angels in context at that point. That's Hebrews 1, verse 14. Angels are the servants of those whom God has appointed to be heirs of salvation, whom God has appointed to be the children of Abraham. And here comes an angel to Cornelius. Something good is happening here. The angel is sent, and Cornelius is Cornelius is absolutely startled out of his wits, isn't he? He's praying. He tells us about his experience later on in verse 30. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks' time. But in verse 30, Cornelius reflects back and he says, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. So Cornelius, he's talking to Peter at this point, and he says, I was praying, it was the ninth hour, I was praying, and suddenly this man stood before me in bright clothing. It was an angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius, and Cornelius tells us himself he was praying at the ninth hour. Now, that was the time of the evening sacrifice in the temple way down in the southeast at Jerusalem, good distance away. That was the time the afternoon, the evening sacrifice was offered. Cornelius wasn't able to be there just because his duties required that he be at Caesarea. But Cornelius, remember, was a Gentile. He wasn't going to be able to get into the temple. The sacrifice that was offered there was not for him, because he was a Gentile. He was excluded. He was outside, but he was praying to God at that time. He knew that that was the time when God's people were worshiping. And even though he couldn't be there, even though he couldn't be in the temple, he was praying to God. And of course, you know, sometimes we think that God is a stickler for the rules, but God is very, very gracious. Psalm 141, verse 2, has the psalmist speaking, and as the psalmist, it's David in this case, as David writes, we have a sense that David would have liked to have been at the tabernacle. He'd liked to have been at the place where God's people were worshiping, but he wasn't able to be there. And David says in Psalm 141, verse 2, David says, may my prayers be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Do you hear what David's saying? David's saying, I'm not able to be there to offer the sacrifice. I can't be where the incense is offered there in the before the ark, but let my prayers be counted to you as those things. And David is kind of untethering his worship from the place where the ark was, the place where God's temple would later be established. And here's Cornelius. Cornelius is doing the same kind of thing. And Cornelius is going to make a great discovery later on. Cornelius is going to discover that temple and those evening sacrifices and that incense and all the rest of it is going to be swept aside as being unnecessary. Why is that? Because Jesus has come. Because Jesus has fulfilled the offering of the sacrifice. Jesus is the one who prays as perfect incense in the presence of God. Jesus is the great sacrifice who covers over the sins of his people, so that for Cornelius and for you and me, that temple is not necessary because Jesus has come. This is why if we want to know God, we need to meet Jesus and understand who Jesus is. But it's interesting, isn't it, that as Cornelius is striving to know God, he's kind of patterning his quest after the pattern that God has set down. He's praying at the time of the evening sacrifice. He knows his Old Testament. He knows when the evening sacrifice is offered, and he sort of sinks his prayer life to that pattern of ceremony. In other words, he's... Cornelius is following a pattern that God has set down in the Old Testament. In other words, if Cornelius is looking to get to know God, Cornelius is following the roadmap that God has given. He's following the pattern that God has set out. And if you are looking to know God, then you're going to want to follow the pattern that God has established. You're going to want to make it your business to be guided and directed by God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, says the wise man in Proverbs chapter 3. Don't make it up for yourself. follow the pattern that God has established. That's going to bring you to a good place. It's going to bring you to the right place. And here is Cornelius. Even though he's not able to be in Jerusalem, he's mindful of the kinds of things that God has told his people, the map that God has laid out for his people. And Cornelius, as a Roman soldier, knew exactly how to read a map. And he learned from the Old Testament that his Jewish friends would have instructed him from. And Cornelius, probably the good reader of maps, Cornelius would have known that all roads lead to Rome. Isn't that right? That's what we were told, all roads lead to Rome. But Cornelius knew that all roads don't lead to God. In other words, if you want to get to God, if you want to find God, you need to follow the path that God has mapped out. You need to follow the truth that God has established. You don't just make it up as you go along. You need to be instructed from God's word. Now, again, let me take that and let me just bring it right down home to you. Your relationship with God is not something that you make up for yourself. It's something that you discover as you read God's word. He makes himself known to us in his word. He reveals himself in the scriptures. Oh yes, he reveals himself in creation so that we know that he's powerful and mighty and sovereign, but he reveals himself in his word as someone who saves people who come seeking after him, who come seeking to know him. And he does so by sending the Lord Jesus. And you'll remember how Jesus tells us in that very familiar verse in John's Gospel, chapter 14, no one comes to the Father except by me. The only way to get to God is by knowing the Lord Jesus. This is why, as Cornelius' story unfolds, it's going to be so important for Cornelius to meet Jesus, to discover Jesus for himself. And here's Cornelius praying at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's at that point the angel appears to him. Cornelius is absolutely terrified out of his mind. Now, a couple of weeks ago, when we looked at the account that Luke gives us of the angels appearing to the shepherds, we're told that the shepherds feared with a very great fear. They were scared out of their minds. And we might say, well, they were shepherds. This guy is a Roman soldier. Okay, he's a Roman centurion. Roman centurions don't scare easily. But when the angel appeared to Cornelius, we're told in verse 4, Cornelius stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? Well, it's a little bit like Samuel, isn't it? Back in 1 Samuel chapter 3, where Samuel says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that's kind of, yes, Cornelius is really shaken, but what is it, Lord? Tell me what do I need to know? What do I need to hear? That's a great attitude, isn't it? That's a great attitude for us to come into God's presence saying, what is it, Lord? What do I need to know? What have you got for me? What have you got to tell me? What have you got to show me? You see, here's this kind of dialogue going on. Cornelius is praying, and then God sends his messenger to speak to him. I was reminded of this earlier this week as I was preparing the prayer update, and as you know, we're looking at the directory for public worship, and our directory for public worship explains how a service of worship, it's a dialogue where God's people speak to God, they address God, and then a representative voice speaks to the people on behalf of God. So in we don't have angels appearing to us, but in a service of worship, you hear God's word read, and then you respond to it with thanksgiving. We pray that God will instruct us from his word. We listen to the sermon, then we respond with praise. We present offerings as the expression of our gratitude for God, God's goodness in making himself known to us. And there's that dialogue, there's that to and fro, that back and forth. And that's what's happening here. Cornelius is praying to God, and God sends his representative voice to address him. And wow, Cornelius didn't expect it. Sometimes God speaks to us in ways that we don't expect, we don't anticipate, that kind of shake us to our core. And I say that because probably I'm like many of you here and having experienced that, where as God's word is opened and unfolded and explained, and I realize God's saying something to me that kind of takes me out of my comfort zone and pushes me in places where I might not have readily gone by myself. And that can be an unsettling thing. And yes, you may be here this morning as the person who's hearing God's word and recognizing that God's here, God's speaking, and your response is to be unsettled and unnerved by it. Well, you're in good company. That happens a lot to people who have this kind of very personal interaction and encounter with God. And so here's Cornelius responding with submissiveness. What is it? What do I need to know? What Cornelius needs to know is that the God who foreshadowed what he would do in the temple in the evening sacrifice and all the rest of it, that God has made himself known clearly in the person of Jesus. And so in verses 5 through 8, Cornelius, this Roman soldier who wants to know God, is directed to discover Jesus. Now, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves at this point, but Cornelius is told that he needs to send about 30 miles down the road to Joppa, and there are two Simons in Joppa, and it's important that Cornelius' little delegation keep them straight. There's Simon the tanner, he's the host, he's the landlord, and there is Simon Peter, and it's Simon Peter that you want. Send down to Joppa and bring Simon Peter up. Now, Simon Peter, we know who Simon Peter is. He's Jesus' apostle. He's Jesus' ambassador. He's Jesus' spokesman. He's Jesus' preacher. He's going around preaching about Jesus. And the angel says, send down to Joppa and bring Peter. Bring Peter. Get him up here. Now, I know what you're thinking just now. You're thinking, that is just so inefficient. The angel's standing right there in front of Cornelius, and the angel's saying, Cornelius, can you send somebody 30 miles down the road to get Simon Peter and bring him 30 miles back up the road so you can hear what he has to say to you? And you and I might say, well, why doesn't the angel just tell Cornelius about Jesus? You know, the angel, to speak very respectfully and very reverently, that is above the angel's pay grade. That's above the angel's pay grade. Because God has entrusted the work of sharing the gospel not to angels, but to people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. People like you and me. God empowers us to be his witnesses, to speak to other people about Jesus. Now, let's just step back for a moment and consider what's going on here. Yes, this is so inefficient. The angel standing in front of Peter. Who better to tell Peter about Jesus than the angel? Why all this sending someone 30 miles down the road to bring Peter 30 miles back up the road so that Peter can tell Cornelius and his household about Jesus? Making known the Lord Jesus is a pretty, from a human standpoint, it's a pretty inefficient business. It really is. You're going to spend, if you desire to get to know Jesus, or if you desire to make Jesus known to other people, it's going to seem like a really inefficient process. You're going to spend a lot of time interacting. You're going to make a lot of journeys. You're going to have to state truth over and over and over again. And it seems like it's really inefficient. And we're thinking about home missions. And yesterday, as Mr. Biggs was installed as a home missionary, that was something that was sort of hinted at. It just seems so inefficient, this business of preaching and this business of planting churches and this way of going about making Jesus known by word of mouth, by the proclamation of the gospel. It seems so inefficient. But that's the way that God has appointed for it to be done. And it may seem, and let me encourage you here, and you may be a parent who's working with your children. You may be a Sunday school teacher who's working with children. You may be a Christian school teacher who's working with students. You may be someone who's sharing the gospel with a friend. You may be someone who's mentoring another younger believer. And you may say, this is so inefficient. We spend so much time going over things again and again. And I spend so much time repeating and reiterating and correcting and all the rest of it. Don't give up because you're doing the right thing. It might seem inefficient. It might seem inefficient, but we can't measure the going forth of Jesus' kingdom in terms of efficiency, the way men and women, the way human beings calculate efficiency. And then here's this angel. We think, well, if this angel's going to talk about Jesus, there's going to be no arguing with that. If the angel tells Cornelius about Jesus, surely Cornelius is going to be persuaded on the spot. But God has not appointed angels to be the ambassadors of the gospel. God hasn't empowered angels for that task. Back in chapter 1, verse 8, God says, or Jesus says to his early disciples, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You're the ones. I'm speaking now to those of you who know Jesus. You're the ones. You're the ones who have the Holy Spirit. You're the ones who are equipped to talk about Jesus to others. You're the ones who are equipped to be witnesses. I guess we can see some of the divine wisdom and logic in that, because there's no angel who's going to be able to say to a sinner, I was a lost sinner like you, and Jesus graciously intervened in my life to make me his daughter, to make me his son. There's no angel can say that, but you can say that. You can speak to the sinner and say, I know what it's like to be a failure. I know what it's like to be ashamed of things that I've done. I know what it's like to struggle with sin. I know that I'm a great sinner, but I know that God's a great Savior. There's no angel who's able to say that. There's no angel who's tasted the delight of being forgiven sins. You and I can speak of that. Peter can talk with people about the way he constantly messed up. And remember Peter, who'd open his mouth and put his foot in it. The one who let Jesus down so shamefully, who denied Jesus not once, not twice, three times. And Peter can say, I messed up that badly, and Jesus still embraced me back and forgave me. No angel is able to say that. No angel is able to say that. God gives his Holy Spirit so that people like you and me are able to speak fluently and articulately about the Lord Jesus. So the fluency and articulation is not ours. It's the Holy Spirit uses our words in ways that we're not able to use them. God takes our words as we speak his truth, and God drives them, God pushes them into hearts so that they're heard the way they need to be heard. And here's Cornelius is being told, there's a Christian down there in Joppa, there's a follower of Jesus, and you and the angels say, I can't tell it like he tells it. That Christian, Peter, you need to hear it from him, because, and the angel doesn't spell this out, because Peter's the one who is the Holy Spirit and is empowered by him to do that. And Cornelius, as we will see, well, he gets that delegation together. Cornelius is going to see to it that he has that contact with Peter, because he wants to hear what Peter has to say. And so this morning, if you are the one who's wanting to know about Jesus, talk with a Christian. Talk with someone who knows Jesus. Talk with someone who's experienced the salvation that Jesus gives. And yes, as we'll discover in a couple of weeks' time, Peter, yes, he's a Christian. Yes, he's a follower of Jesus. Yes, he's a redeemed sinner. Peter's also a preacher of the gospel. And Cornelius needs to hear some preaching. He's not going to hear the preaching from an angel. He needs to hear the preaching from a preacher. And so Peter is sent from Paul. The Apostle Paul says, well, he talks about the foolishness of preaching. There's inefficiency if ever you saw inefficiency. Paul says, what? Preach? That just seems like such an inefficient way of making the message known. But Paul says that's the means that God has appointed. That's the way God has ordained for Jesus' kingdom to be extended. That's the way God has ordained for people who need Jesus to find Jesus. And that was true in Acts chapter 10, and that's true today. It's true today that God uses preachers. He uses Christians. He uses the means that he has appointed. We think, well, wouldn't an angel be a great tool for God to use? But God hasn't appointed angels as evangelists. He's appointed preachers. He's appointed people like you and me to be witnesses. And those are the means that God uses. And we might want the glamour of angels. And we might want the breathtaking spectacle. But actually, funnily enough, that's not what God intends to use. He intends to use redeemed sinners who are able to speak about what Jesus has done for them. And who are able to invite others to know this Jesus for themselves. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your word and its sweetness and its richness. And I pray that your word would find the place in our hearts that you have for it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing praise once more, and then we'll confess our faith in words from Galatians chapter 3 that are printed in the bulletin, words that we've already referred to. First of all, we praise God. Hymn number 642, Be Thou My Vision. 642, will you rise to give praise? We're going to confess our faith in words from Galatians chapter 3. Paul answers the question, who are the descendants of Abraham? Who does the Bible say are Abraham's descendants? The Bible says it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Almighty God, we give you thanks that you are our portion, that you are our very great reward, freely and generously given. And because you have allowed us to taste of your goodness and experience your blessedness in Jesus, we come with tithes, gifts, and offerings, the expressions of our delight and joy, praying that you would receive these and that you would use them to make such great good news known to others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. People of God, rise up, lift up your hearts, receive the Lord's benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. Amen.